Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came about when the man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them. Long lifespans, as recorded in chapter 5, were responsible for the massive increase of the earth's population. Note this verse refers to the daughters of men. Many daughters were born at this time. Verse 2. That the sons of the Elohim saw that the daughters of the man were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Some have argued that the sons of the Elohim were the sons of Seth, who cohabitated with the daughters of Cain. Others suggest that they were perhaps human kings wanting to build harems. Verse 3. Then Yahweh said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. This is the Holy Spirit, or Ruach Kodesh, that is playing an active role in Genesis and the rest of the scriptures. The Ruach Kodesh was calling men to repentance through the preaching of Enoch and Noah. 2 Peter 2:5, If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Jude 1:14-16, It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. The Ruach Kodesh is coming to the limit of his patience with this statement in Genesis verse 3. Man's time left is now limited to 120 years. Chapter 6 verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of the man and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Verse 4 is showing an even further corruption of mankind. Hebrew for Christians. This is found in Hebrew for Christians, the number 4. It puts them in the lineage of Cain. These Nephilim are not considered to have been the offspring of the union of the sons of the Elohim and the daughters of men from verse 1. The word Nephilim comes from a root meaning to fall, indicating that they were strong or mighty men who fell on others in the sense of overpowering them, or refer to Numbers 13:33 for another use of the word Nephilim. That's Numbers 13:33, if you're interested in more information. This overpowering of others caused many murders and acts of violence, as was characteristic of the antediluvian world. Verse 5. Then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of the man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. This is how Yahweh saw mankind. Great wickedness in the form of unimaginable sin was the norm at the time. It would appear that the days in which we live could not compare to that time. I cannot imagine what it was like to think of evil all day long. You wake up in the morning thinking of something evil to do for that day and then accomplish the evil during the day and then go to sleep at night preparing more evil for the next day. This is a classic case of sheer willful acts of evil that originate in sinful man through his thought life. The people of Noah's days were exceedingly wicked from the inside out. Verse 6, Yahweh was sorry that he had made the man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Sin sorrowed Yahweh, who is holy and perfect. He was sorry. What a contrast to Genesis chapter 1 when Elohim said on the sixth day that everything was tov mo'od, or very good, or you could say further, perfect. After all, this is God you're talking about, and he would be perfect, Elohim. Yahweh said, I will blot out the man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to beast to creeping thing and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. The act of blotting out man and other living creatures appears to be not only removing man and the creatures physically from the earth, but to remove any evidence of them and the conditions in which they lived. We believe we have many fossils during that era, but I am not sure we can be certain any fossils are human remains. It is possible the human remains are after the flood. I don't see any strong evidence of antediluvian human fossil remains in what I have read. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of Yahweh. Verse 9, these are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with the Elohim. Sounds like an early form of a Christian, except they didn't know who Christ was at the time. That's another study. Noah was righteous and blameless. 2 Peter 2:5, if he did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. 1 Peter 3:20, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. We are told several things of significance in 2 Peter 2:5. Number one, Elohim did not spare the ancient world. Number two, Noah was preserved. Number three, Noah was a preacher or a herald. Four, seven others were included with Noah to be preserved. And number five, the world was full of the ungodly. Since we say we believe in the words of Peter the Apostle, we see from Peter that he was a believer in, number one, the world was not spared. Number two, Noah was a real person. Number three, Noah was a preacher. Number four, only eight total were saved by water. See 1 Peter 3:20. Number five, together with the verses from 1 Peter 3:20 and 2 Peter 2:5, Noah built the ark. Number six, God was patient and waited. And number seven, the world that was full of the ungodly was to be destroyed completely. Jesus is Elohim. Like Peter, believed and preached the same thing. Matthew 24:37-39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Some say that the flood of Noah's day was a local flood. From the verse above, how could all be swept away unless it was a global flood? Those are the words of Jesus. So I guess we could apply the same things we just talked about, some of the same things, when we were talking about the verses from Peter, that Peter believed in Noah and the flood. In this case, and with Jesus, it was talking about the flood, and it was talking about Noah. It also mentioned the ark and the reason for the flood. But it ended with something interesting. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 10. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Or, as some would say in other languages, Japheth. Change the J to a Y. In order to explain where the seven others came from that were spared, we read that Noah had three sons. Later we will see that each son had a wife that is spared also. Of course, don't forget Noah's wife. Now, in verse 11, the earth was corrupt in the sight of the Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Corruption and violence during that time was the norm. Referring back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, we see this is what to be expected when he returns to earth again, or the second coming. Verse 12 of chapter 6. Elohim looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. In the eyes of Elohim, it was corruption, corruption of their way. If you have your Bible open to Genesis 6, verses 2 and 4, they gave us ideas as to what this corruption was. You can refer to these verses again if you want to review what this corruption was. Verse 13. Then Elohim said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." Elohim's patience has run out. He told Noah, "The end of all flesh has become before me." Again, we are reminded the earth is filled with violence and all flesh is to be destroyed using the earth. After we study the global flood and how powerful it was, we will get an idea of the total devastation that is to occur. Verse 14. "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make rooms, the ark, and shall cover it inside and outside with pitch." How are Noah and seven others to be saved? Noah is commanded to build a boat or an ark. It's actually a good-sized ship that Elohim designed. This ark is special because it is constructed like a box or a chest. Many modern drawings and models have incorrectly depicted the ark as a sailboat or like fishermen would use. And not only that, with animals hanging out all over the place, especially these kids' models. What is the ark made of? Gopher wood was more than likely similar to a kind of heavy, strong wood that stands up well in water. Gopher wood may not exist today. You can see the website christiananswers.net and do a search from there for gopher wood. Verse 15, "This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Chapter 6, verse 16, "You shall make a window for the ark, and shall finish it to a cubit from the top, and you shall set the door of the ark in the side of it, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." A cubit is about 18 inches long, so the dimensions were about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. This is a very large box and is very stable in the water. It would be impossible to capsize. The interior volume calculations yield 1.4 million cubic feet, equal to the capacity of 522 standard railroad cars that could carry 125,000 sheep, for example. There are three stories about 15 feet high, and each deck was equipped with various rooms, or literally nests. Pitch is made of resin similar to tar or sap from trees and is used to seal any seams and cracks in the wood. It was designed to be totally watertight. This window that is mentioned in verse 16 may have actually been a low wall around the flat roof to catch water for all on the ark. Verse 17, "Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish." Elohim is firmly stating that he is to bring the flood of water upon the earth, and that is not to happen by any other means. He said, "Behold, I. Again, Elohim told Moses to repeat in writing what he is about to do. The total destruction of all flesh that has the breath of life is to be accomplished. There are two words in Hebrew that define the global flood. In the English transliterated text from verse 17, if you have access to that, it says flood of water. The corresponding words in Hebrew are hamabul mayim. Hamabul mayim is interpreted as meaning a mighty deluge of waters. The word for mighty, hamabul, is used only one other time outside of Genesis 6 in Psalms 29. The word for waters, mayim, is used in other areas of Scripture, but combined with the word Hamabul, it can only refer to the surges of the Great Flood. When the two words are combined together, the meaning becomes clear as to mean a deluge. No other flood-like event or water crossing in Scripture can compare. The event of the global flood is recorded elsewhere in Scripture in Matthew 24:39, which we just read a little while ago, Luke 17:27, and 2 Peter 3:6. Since these passages of the New Testament were written in Greek, we need to see what word is used to describe the deluge of the global flood. Still, the word in the English translation refers to the event of the global flood as simply flood. However, the Greek word is kataklysmos, where we get the English for cataclysm. You can also find a similar description of what the Hebrew words denote at againhebrewforchristians.com with the number 4. By doing a search on the homepage when you type in Noah, you will be led to a write-up that describes the intensity of the global flood. The information at this website supports the global flood account and explains what the scriptures really mean in Hebrew. Sometimes our translations don't always do justice to the strength of various Hebrew words. For example, Hamabul. This is not a local flood. To have everything that is on the earth to perish has to cover the entire earth. This is a global flood. Why the need for an ark if it is a local flood? Noah, the animals, and the rest of his family could simply have walked to the nearest highest mountain to escape the waters. Chapter 6, verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Elohim will establish a covenant with Noah. A covenant is a pledge from Elohim and a promise, and this is called the Noahic covenant. It is one of several covenants that Elohim makes throughout Scripture. Now we see Noah's 3 sons and their 3 wives for a total of 8, saved from the global flood. Chapter 6, verse 19. "And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring 2 of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female." Verse 20, "Of the winged birds after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, 2 of every kind will come to you to keep them alive." Noah is advised that he will have 2 of each kind, and that's called Emina or Elminu, with them on the ark, and kind is different from species. You can find the word kinds in the Genesis Bible study, chapter 1, verse 21. You can look that up in your Bible, or you can go back and review it again in the audio file. Species is a man-invented word. The word is kind, and it's distinct. Kinds do not cross. Verse 21, "As for you, take for yourself of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them." The note for verse 16 stated that 125,000 sheep could have stayed on the ark. Suppose there are 18,000 kinds of animals today. Multiplied by 2 gives 36,000. Even if you assume that the number of kinds was double back then, you could again double this last figure to give you 72,000 kinds. Since the average size of land animals is less than sheep, then maybe over 60% of the space was used at this point. The very large animals would have been young, so their sizes fit in with the amount of space used. Yes, dinosaurs were included, just as young. There was room left over for 1 million kinds of insects and food for them all. This note says kinds, not species, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 22, "Thus Noah did, according to all that Elohim had commanded him, so he did." This may not mean anything else other than Noah believed Elohim and followed his commandments completely.